Have you ever tried a jury trial?
I have not.
Civil?
No.
Criminal?
No.
Bench?
No.
State or federal court?
I have not.
Have you ever argued a motion in state court?
I have not.
Have you ever argued a motion in federal court?
No.
We need to fill these courts as quickly as we can. Moving right on to the next judicial nominee, sir, you've been nominated for a prestigious federal circuit court judgeship. Can you state your name for us, please?
Yes.
Have you ever tried a case?
No.
Do you know what a motion in limine is?
I'm with the Lions Defending Freedom, and they told us it's going to be an easy test.
Do you know what a motion is?
Can I get a multiple choice on that one? I'm much better on multiple choice.
Do you know the difference between a civil and criminal trial?
See, I went to a Christian law school. We learned the law according to the Christian Bible, the only law that matters. And, I'm pretty sure we didn't cover that.
But you must know what a trial is.
Now, I'm gonna need my glasses for that one.
Why do you need your glasses to answer a question?
It's in the Republican playbook. They say glasses make you look smarter. They call it doing a Rick Perry.
Perhaps you'd like to use a lifeline.
My phone a friend, Justice Scalia?
Yeah, not sure the glasses thing is going to work. Sir, have you ever been in a court?
Now you're not supposed to know anything about that. Them's records is sealed. And I hardly even touched any of them anyway.
Sir, how could we possibly approve you for a federal judgeship?
Well, as I say, I'm with the Alliance Defending Freedom, and we helped get Donald Trump elected president. I personally pray with the Vice President, Mike Pence. And let me just say, I am opposed to abortion and the federal government under any and all circumstances, including to save the life of the slut.
Oh, okay then. You should have said that right up front. I think we're good here. Next!
It's time for Forward Nation Radio. Now here he is, the host of Forward Nation Radio, David Leventhal.
Welcome to Forward Nation Radio with me, David Leventhal, our pre-Christmas edition. By the time we see you next, Christmas will have occurred. So we would like to wish all of our viewers a very... Sorry. We wanted to wish a Merry Christmas. We just can't, as part of the liberal war on Christmas. Sorry. Anyway, pre-Christmas, have a good holiday. This past week, December 14th in particular, marked the 5-year anniversary of the Sandy Hook Elementary School massacre, where 20 children and 6 adults were murdered. I mentioned before that as a parent of young children, I truly cannot imagine the horror that those families are going through and will be going through for the rest of their lives. And our hearts go out to them, especially on this anniversary, though always. But to compound the pain they must be feeling, having to watch a president and Congress enthrall to the gun manufacturing industry. On the 5-year anniversary of Sandy Hook, to have the President of the United States host a National Rifle Association executive at the White House. This is revolting. In other American violence news, have any of you seen the video of the execution of Daniel Shaver by the police? If you haven't watched it, I have a suggestion. Don't. It is probably the most gut-wrenching, almost unwatchable thing I've ever seen. Instead of this country sitting down and having a conversation about how we reduce violence by civilians, by police officers, whomever, No, we're going to make an issue out of NFL football players trying to bring the issue to light. The Virginia House of Delegates. Here's a little bit of good news, and not in the midst of what we're going to be talking about today. The latest recount of a very close race ended up with the Democratic candidate winning by one vote. That's right, one vote. Thus, putting the Virginia House of Delegates into a 50-50 deadlock. What do we learn from this? Vote. Remember, people who watch Forward Nation Radio, Democratic thoughtful voters, vote when you have the opportunity. They will put up roadblocks that should just make you more determined. Here's a case where one vote literally mattered. In fact, we now know that the Democrats won the overall vote for the Virginia House of Delegates by more than 200,000 voters statewide. And by winning by more than 200,000 votes, they got a tie, which I guess is better than we did with the presidential election, but clearly indicates the need to do something about gerrymandering. Are you listening, Supreme Court? Just kidding. Anyway, of course, the big news for the week and the month and the year is that the Republicans finally did something. Yay, the tax bill got enacted. Congress, after screwing it up the first time, voted just this afternoon, sending to complete what the Senate had already voted on last night because of the big rush to get this done. Such a rush because, of course, as we've mentioned at length in this show, no one can find out about this if you still hope that it's going to get through. It's been noted, though, information does creep out, the Treasury Secretary's economic analysis that he keeps referring to is a less than one page, less than 500 words, basically list of Republican talking points. The Treasury's Office of Tax Policy was shut out of the deliberations because sunlight is, in fact, a disinfectant, and we sure as hell didn't want that. Donald Trump got his victory. Republicans moving full speed ahead. The public doesn't understand the bill at this point. That's wonderful, because now, and it already started, Republicans will be spending the next year and beyond explaining it to the public, explaining it with lies, distortions, deceptions, but they'll be explaining it with millions and millions of dollars in backing to make sure that people understand it about as well as Bob Corker apparently understands it. More on that in a moment. Is this bill the product of a rigid Republican ideology? Or should I say, idiotology? The Republicans are big, led by Speaker Ryan, in Ayn Rand libertarianism. Now, most sensible people think Ayn Rand is basically an idiot to whom facts didn't really matter and life and history have not been kind. But the Republicans love the idea that wealthy people owe nothing to anybody. As we've talked about before, the religious parts of Ayn Rand, where she thought that religious people, i.e. the Republican base, were morons, that part, of course, Paul Ryan does not make his staff actually read. This is about empowerment, about people succeeding and getting to realize the spoils of their winning. Really? Hedge fund owners? Investors? Gamblers? Heirs, even worse? How exactly does this promote Republican ideology in any way, shape, or form? No, it's time to put a fork in the usual GOP canards. The canards that they are the party of fiscal sanity. Only when it comes to lowering taxes on billionaires and lowering government spending on everybody else. That they are the party of family values. Why they throw people out of health insurance and try to break up families. No, what we have here is payoffs and naked theft. That's the real Republican ideology. We talked last time about how the closeness of the bill was going to mean very lucrative events for such Republicans as Jeff Flake and Bob Corker, people who had expressed their misgivings on the bill, and therefore the ante needed to be upped for them. Well, Republicans right now are preparing for their next job as lobbyists. In fact, they're not just preparing for it, they're actually already working the job, delivering a bill to Republican donors worth trillions of dollars. That screws their constituents, but who cares? Constituents don't donate to political campaigns. Besides, there's possible good news in this story. The hope is, as some commentators have been speculating, that the Republicans' naked theft here was predicated in part, their brazenness at least, was predicated in part on the idea that they're going to get killed in 2018. That's what they believe. And they figure if they're going to get voted out of office anyway, might as well start their jobs as lobbyists. Might as well cash in now while the money is good. There's no sense trying to appease your voters. They're going to vote you out anyway. Let's hope that these commentators are right. But maybe you don't have to wait till you retire to get your bonuses. And thus, the Corker kickback, which I'm sure most of you have heard of at this point. Bob Corker had opposed, was the lone Republican voting against the Senate bill because of what it did to the deficit. But now the final bill, when the Republicans were concerned about whether they were going to be able to pass it, Bob Corker was dutifully on board, despite the fact that it didn't do anything to address his stated concerns about the deficit. What could possibly have changed? Well, it turns out a provision was added at the last minute. And when the entire bill is last minute, believe me, a provision that is last minute is really last minute. That benefits Bob Corker and his real estate investment business, because after all, real estate speculators, these are the kind of people I'm sure that Ayn Rand had in mind that are so valuable to our society, much more valuable than someone who, let's say, works for a living, that these people need to really get more money. People like Bob Corker, like our president, Donald Trump, with a last-minute multi-billion dollar gift to him and his heirs. Renaissance Technologies is benefiting tremendously from the bill and from last-minute provisions. Renaissance Technology, you might recall, is Robert Mercer's company that made him a billionaire. You know, Robert Mercer, the guy who's backing Breitbart. We, as everybody else has, have been wondering how Steve Bannon has been so quiet while this tax bill that he's supposedly against goes through. Well, it turns out the people who feed him are benefiting massively. Maybe they bought off Breitbart. Now, maybe this isn't true. Maybe that's not what motivated Bob Corker. Maybe he's just a complete bitch. And when the Republicans said, we're not sure the bill's going to get through, because John McCain at least had enough sense to stay home and not vote for this on record, that Corker did what he was told to do, which is get on board. So we have this bill that Republicans are now busy selling through bullshit. 60% of the U.S. population will see an increase in taxes. Over the next 10 years, the pass-through provision alone, revolving pass-through businesses, is equal to 3 times the amount that would be expected to be spent over the next 10 years on the Children's Health Insurance Program that Republicans have still not found the wherewithal to extend. That one provision alone, 3 times children's health. In 10 years, according to Brookings Urban Institute tax policy study, 70% of middle-income taxpayers will be paying more in taxes. The top 1%, the top 0.1% will get an average tax cut of more than $200,000 a year. Also paying for this tax cut is not just middle-class people having to pay more. It's people without health insurance. Yes, the individual mandate from Obamacare is gone. Expectations are this will mean that 13 million will lose their health insurance. It also means that many millions of young, healthy people will opt out of the pool and instead play Russian roulette with their lives. Now that the Republicans are governing this country, we can expect that when it turns out they do get sick, they will in fact be told to die. You made that decision. By taking the healthy people out of the pool, it's going to raise insurance rates dramatically for everybody else and probably lead to many millions more out of Obamacare, and perhaps, if the Republicans are lucky, lead to a death spiral for Obamacare. Remember how the Republicans promised to get rid of Obamacare and replace it with something better? And remember how they couldn't do that because they didn't have anything better? Well, it turns out you could just use a back channel to eliminate the bill. Consequences, schmonsequences, as long as I'm rich. That's a Daffy Duck reference for those of you too young to reference that.
Consequences, schmonsequences, as long as I'm rich.
The bill greatly underestimates the impact. These discussions about how it's going to affect the middle class greatly underestimates the impact on the middle class in this country. By starving the government of money, it is going to necessitate greatly reduced government spending. Medicaid, Medicare, they're already talking about, we've talked about this before, but other programs as well. And guess which programs the Republicans are going to cut first? If you think they're the government programs for rich people, you might be Susan Collins. Anyway, one of those things is going to be cut, infrastructure. Many of you probably heard about the train derailment and several lives being lost. Donald Trump responded to that by saying, that's why we need to pass the Trump infrastructure plan, which of course I hadn't seen fit to bother to push up until this point. Now, of course, the question becomes, with what money? We've already maxed out the federal deficit to the extent that we're allowed to by law. So what are you going to do? You're going to rescind some of your tax cuts so that we could pay for infrastructure investment? Come on, just kidding. You know I'm just kidding. No, we're going to take it out of poor people. We'll take it out of education spending, disability spending, healthcare spending, if we do it at all. If the federal government comes up with the money at all for infrastructure spending. What about the states? Well, the states are going to be left with even less money than they had before. At least the states that are sometimes inclined to invest in infrastructure, like education. In other words, the blue states. The states in which people being educated is actually a good thing. Those states are going to suddenly see a lot of their citizens facing higher federal tax rate because of the size of the state and local taxes. So the choice will be obvious. Cuts need to be made in state and local taxes so that those people aren't squeezed so much. In the newspaper just this morning is that recent cuts in upkeep on the New York City subway system are the reason that 2017 was the worst year for subway performance on record. So let's just spend less. How will the rest of the world look at what we are doing? 2017 Global Wealth Data Book pointed out that from 2012 to 2017, the United States took nearly 70% of the total global wealth gain. Of the gain in global wealth, the United States citizens, took 70% of it. The U.S. richest 10%, those who comprise way less than 1% of the world's adult population, took more than one half of the global wealth. No wonder we don't need to invest in a State Department anymore. Who the hell would want to work with us? How could this blatant robbery work for the GOP? We've been talking about it for weeks. Everybody else has been talking about it for weeks. Approval ratings of the tax bill are in the 20s, as we pointed out, lower than Donald Trump's approval rating, and that didn't even seem possible. So how can this work for the GOP, and what to expect for the future? Well, we're already hearing, as we talked briefly about last week, about the achievement, the success. We did something. And now we're going to hear talking point after talking point for the Republican Party. The message will have gotten through to Fox News and every conservative propaganda outlet, and to every Republican in public office or in the spotlight. Here are your talking points. Here are the things that you're going to have to say over and over and over again. I understand it seems to have started today with talk of the generational nature of the tax cuts. This is the kind of thing that happens once in a generation. Yes, because it takes the American public a generation to forget how badly you screwed them the last time. Also, it takes a generation before the Republicans control every aspect of our government and get to steal like this. So what are we going to see? We're going to see lie, 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 lie for the next 3 years at least. You thought it was bad now? It's going to get even worse. We will be at even greater war on truth and reason in this country. Truth and reason will be discredited countrywide for the people who are willing to watch the people who are doing this. We've already read this week that our government had told federal agencies that there were banned words. Words that they're not allowed to use, like, for instance, Health and Human Services, was told that they could not use words such as vulnerable, entitlement, diversity, transgender, evidence-based, and science-based. We've already heard about how federal employees and agencies have been intimidated by people reading their emails, following them, trying to prevent any kind of dissent. In other words, the hallmarks of fascism. What we're seeing now is a purge of every actual government employee who might take his or her job seriously, to be replaced by apparatchiks who will help spread lies directly from the Koch brothers playbook. A little while ago, the journalist Jane Mayer, we talked about this before, wrote a book called Dark Money on how the ultra-right finances lies and propaganda. Spent a lot of time on the Koch brothers. After that, Jane Mayer was accused broadly of plagiarism, something she'd never been accused of before and something she was ultimately completely exonerated of. She reports having been followed by people when she drove and went places. They are intimidating journalists. They are intimidating people seeking the truth. And we had better have these people's back, and we'd better fight back. What do you think is going to happen to the IRS now after this tax bill gets implemented? What do you think they're going to be allowed to say and what they're not going to be allowed to say? How else does this kind of thing work? Well, people in this country tend to have kind of a short memory. And the Republicans figure we've got, well, more than 10 months until the next election. We will change the subject a whole lot. People will forget about everything that happened. When the middle class tax cuts expire, that's not for a few years. Nobody will remember any of this. When Obama became the president, the Bush tax cuts, the same thing they're doing now, with phase outs of the tax cuts to make it appear like they actually don't bust the budget more than they do. The Bush tax cuts were due to expire. So you know what Obama did? Because we were in the midst of a recession, he extended the Bush tax cuts for everybody but very wealthy people. When you're trying to stimulate the economy, you don't give tax cuts to billionaires, unless you're a Republican, of course. So Obama extended the Bush tax cuts. And therefore, forever Obama was labeled on Fox News and elsewhere as a tax increaser. That's right. By not extending all of the Bush tax cuts, by letting the law that the Republicans passed and the Republican president signed into law, by letting that take effect as it was signed, Obama became the tax increaser. And this is what the Republicans are counting on. The middle class tax cuts are going to expire, and the Democrats will probably be in office at that point. What are they going to do? Extend it and break the bank? Raise taxes on businesses? Imagine the bumper sticker and the lawn sign. Raise taxes, raise taxes, raise taxes. Because in addition to having a short memory, the American public likes things simple, oversimple. I don't want to hear why you raise taxes, whose taxes you raised, how that's going to help this country. All I'm going to hear is raise taxes. It's been noted by some commentators that maybe the Republican tax plan will become popular. They've analogized it to the Obamacare bill, which they said was unpopular at first, but has become popular. Why isn't it the same thing? Well, in fact, it's basically the reverse. Obamacare was unpopular in the beginning because the Republicans were lying massively about what Obamacare was. After a few years, reality seeped in, and people saw that it couldn't be approved on by Republicans, that the Republicans were lying to them. And suddenly the bill and they saw what the bill actually was and how it actually was affecting them, and it became more popular. The tax bill is the exact opposite of that. The reason it's not popular is because people actually know what's in it. And now we're going to spend years lying about what's in it so that hopefully it becomes popular, because they don't know what the hell's going on. People say, well, people will notice this one. People will notice when their paychecks get smaller. Well, there are ways around that. First of all, you're giving too much credit to the American public. The American public, while people are reaching into their pocket and taking their wallet out, if they're being told that they're doing it out of love, they're okay with that. But that's okay. Even if they're not reaching into their pocket and taking it out, people are going to start to think, well, maybe this is okay at some point. The lies will start to sink in. Maybe the IRS will, in fact, lower withholding. People's paychecks will get bigger. They won't notice until the end of the year, which of course will be after the 2018 elections, that their taxes have actually gone up and they owe a lot of money. By that point, the 2018 elections will have passed, and it'll be almost 2 years until the next one, so it won't matter. They will just do the usual bullshit. Spread it out, stall. Elections have consequences, they will say, as if they'd won the election. They will talk about the will of the people as if they had won the election. Fox News will report on court rulings. They are filling, you've seen at the beginning of this show, the federal judiciary with incompetents who will support the propaganda machine. The White House, just this week, put out a statement. The sexual harassment accusations against Trump were addressed at length during the campaign, and the American people voiced their judgment by delivering a decisive victory. Well, that's wrong on two fronts, but doesn't matter. They'll keep saying it. First of all, they clearly were not addressed at length during the campaign. When people tried to address the allegations, Trump's response was, this doesn't matter, this is old news, etc., let's move on. So it's not ripe, it's not ripe, it's not ripe. Hey, now it's stale. Okay, and clearly they did not deliver a decisive victory. By Democratic standards, they didn't even deliver a victory. We will see the assault on the media. That's good. You notice the news about how foreign dictators around the world, autocrats in other places, have taken up the Trump mantra of fake news to justify whatever they do? when the Human Rights Commission comes and calls them out? Fake news, fake news. This is grist for the dictator mill worldwide. We will make false equivalences for the next few years. Another tactic that we can expect to see a lot of. Just just this morning on NPR, I heard the intro to a report. Republicans say that the tax bill will help the middle class. Democrats say it's a payoff to rich people. We'll discuss this later. Republicans say Democrats. Republicans say climate change isn't occurring. Democrats say it is. There's a dispute. The fact that there's no scientific dispute is left out. Republicans say that the sun revolves around the Earth, which is the center of our solar system and our universe. Democrats say that the Earth revolves around the sun. Pick a side, people. Two sides to everything. But wait, it gets worse, because we have this lies double standard. When the Washington Post gets a story a little bit wrong before it retracts it, and after it retracts it, it's all over the right-wing media. See, we've been telling you, the fake news media lies, the liberal media lies. Donald Trump averages 5 lies a day. He's going to be at about 2,000 at the end of his first year. Fox News lies constantly. The lies come so thick and heavy, they're not even discussed anymore. We talked about the Treasury Secretary saying, I've got a report that says the tax bill is going to be a wonderful thing for Americans. Doesn't matter. One side gets away with lying all the time because it's expected. The other side, hey, did you say something that wasn't technically true? We're going to come back to that. There's no shame on one side. One side has some shame. You can't call crazy crazy if you're a Democrat. We have a conversation before every show. I want to go ballistic. My producer, who's a much more reasonable, level-headed person than me, says, no, 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 we can't be crazy. We can't call them the kind of names that they call us. And I'm, of course, responding by saying, they call us this all the time. They call Hillary Clinton a criminal for years. But we can't do that. We have to be better than that. So the Republican tactic is to go crazy. Go even more crazy. Double down on crazy. And if the other side points out that you're crazy, well, that just shows how biased they are. Look at the FBI in Russia. Someone just asked me, what do I think about this FBI in Russia thing? My response was, what do I think? It's completely made up. That's what I think. Could you imagine that some people in the FBI thought that Donald Trump wasn't qualified to be president? That just shows they're biased. Or it shows they're capable of basic thought, the most basic thought. It doesn't make them biased. It makes them not insane. But we're going to dismiss anyone who attacks a Republican as being overheated, as being less than credible. Susan Collins. What passes for the Republican moderate plays the sexual harassment card, the sexual discrimination card. The criticism against her is sexist. You're saying that I caved, that I was misled because I'm a woman and you'd think I don't have the ability to do that. Really? Here's a Republican calling the other side criticizing her sexist? Oh, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. The sexist side calling the other side sexist. Well, we won't double down on that, and I wanted to. And we won't double down on that, but we will say this. I don't think you were hoodwinked, Susan Collins. I think you're a crook. I think you are bought and paid for, like Bob Corker, like everybody else, like the so-called other moderate in the Senate. Lisa Murkowski, let's not forget her. She was bought months ago by allowing them to destroy the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge through oil exploration. So much for Republican moderates. Let's put that fiction aside. It's not helpful. This whole thing, this fits in with the whole FCC ending net neutrality, which they did this week, it's going to increase the propaganda coming from the right. Fox News will come in quickly. The Nation magazine will come in slowly. Remember, Republicans don't need to get to 50% to win in 2018. As gerrymandered as Congress is, they don't even have to get close to 50%. They need to energize their base of true believers. And they need to scare the hell out of some other people and give them a reason not to show up at the polls. Democratic candidates for any federal office in 2018 and beyond, good luck to you. You better make sure that you bend down to pet every stray dog you pass, because anything you do is going to be turned into a threat to this nation. That will be the strategy, and it will be amply supported by a right-wing propaganda machine. Fascism has truly come to America. Anyway, that's our show for today. Thank you for joining us as always. We really do wish you all a very nice holiday and Merry Christmas. Like Looking Forward, go to forwardnationradio.com. That's forwardnationradio.com and get the full experience. You'll see the video from this and every episode there and on our YouTube channel as well. Don't miss the next Forward Nation Radio podcast on Podbean at podbean.com. If you love what you heard, like us on Facebook. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. Tell your friends. Spread the word. Forward Nation Radio. See you next week.
You've been listening to Forward Nation Radio with David Leventhal.